Iti te jnanam akyatam, bhuyad guyataram maya, vimrishaitad asheshena, yathechasita thakuru. Thus I have explained to you knowledge still more confidential. Deliberate on this fully, and then do what you wish to do. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Lord has already explained to Arjuna the knowledge of Brahma Bhuta. One who is in the Brahma-bhuta condition is joyful. He never laments, nor does he desire anything. That is due to confidential knowledge. Krishna also discloses knowledge of the Supersoul. This is also Brahma knowledge, knowledge of Brahman, but it is superior. Hear the words, yathechasita thakuru. As you like, you may act. Indicate that God does not interfere with the little independence of the living entity. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord has explained in all respects how one can elevate his living condition. The best advice imparted to Arjuna is to surrender unto the super soul seated within his heart. By right discrimination, one should agree to act according to the order of the super soul. That will help one become situated constantly in Krishna consciousness, the highest perfectional stage of human life. Arjuna is being directly ordered by the personality of Godhead to fight. Surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is in the best interest of the living entities. It is not for the interest of the Supreme. Before surrendering, one is free to deliberate on this subject as far as his intelligence goes. That is the best way to accept the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such instruction comes also through the spiritual master, the bona fide representative of Krishna. Welcome all of our very special guests for coming this evening. I personally feel very, very fortunate to have this opportunity to come to this glorious project, Bhaktivedanta Hospital, here in Mira Road, and to try in some way to serve you or assist you in your wonderful work for humanity and for God. In this particular verse, Lord Krishna is revealing to us the most essential understanding of how to elevate ourselves from material consciousness to spiritual consciousness. Krishna is speaking about the free will. Every living being is being given independence by Krishna. Aham bija pratapita. Krishna is the original father for all of us. And just as in this world, the attributes of the father and the mother are present within the child, Similarly, Krishna explains in Gita, he is the mother, he is the father, he is the source of everything. We are all part and parcel of Krishna. Mamayavamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Because we are part of Krishna, we possess the same attributes as Krishna, the Supreme Godhead. However, Krishna is vipu. He is unlimited, and we are anu. We are infinitesimally small. We are part and parcel. Just as the fire is blazing, each spark has the same quality as the fire. However, if the spark leaves the association of the rest of the fire, it loses its quality of heat and light. So we have all been put in whatever position that we are in within this world due to the proper use or misuse of our free will. We are within this material existence because we have chosen to be so. The way in which we are degraded is to misuse our independence, to neglect or ignore the scientific, philosophical presentation that Krishna has given us, not only in the Gita, but in all the great scriptures throughout the world. And we are elevated to a life where we can experience true happiness by using our independence to live in harmony with the instructions of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, would sometimes tell us many stories of his own realizations of the confirmation of the philosophy of Gita through various phenomena that he had witnessed within this world. When he was living in Allahabad, there was a very famous, wealthy, aristocratic, distinguished lawyer. His name was Mr. Banerjee. He had so much happiness in his position. He was a very moral, ethical person and respected by all. And he gave the same privilege to his children. His eldest son also became a lawyer. And he also became very wealthy, distinguished, and respected by all. However, his eldest son, his youngest son, began to associate with a woman of very low character. And although everything was there for him to be a respectable lawyer, what did they call it, barrister? He chose to become an ekala. Prabhupada says that means someone who drives a little wagon that is pulled by one horse. We call tanga. He was tanga driver. He would just take people on an old horse and an old wagon, and he would just take people from place to place, and he lived in rags, and he was a miserable person in every way, economically, socially, mentally. His father kept telling him, just come. I will make you a lawyer. I will give you all facility. I have all connections. Come. But because of attachment to bad association, he simply suffered in his life. This is an example of how At any time, whoever we are, we could misuse our free will. Srila Prabhupada would tell us, all the property, all the glory, all the happiness of our Father Krishna, he wants to give us. In the spiritual world, Krishna is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. But our identity as a spirit soul is also eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. Krishna is begging us. You are mine. You are my child. You are my eternal companion. Come back. I will give you everything. But due to our free will, we want to continue being separate from Krishna because of association of the modes of material nature. This material world is comprised of three modes of material nature. And it is the purpose of human form of life to elevate our consciousness, to be liberated from these modes of material nature and experience real happiness. Srila Prabhupada explains, just like that little spark, when it falls from the fire, if it falls into dry grass, the dry grass will blaze. The quality of the fire, the quality of the spark, will retain its original nature and gradually become more and more and more. That is like sattva-guna. Sattva-guna is the mode of material nature by which we can actually come to the spiritual platform. When we fall under the influence or the association of rajaguna, or the mode of passion, it is like the spark of the soul falling into green grass. There is no immediate chance in green grass for the quality of the soul to manifest. However, there is a chance that just by being in that green grass, after some time, due to the soul's presence in it, the grass becomes dry. In other words, through the mode of passion, there is the chance that we can be elevated to the mode of goodness. However, when that spark falls into water, then it is very, very difficult to make any progress. Tamaguna, the mode of ignorance, is compared to water. Therefore, the purpose of human life is to live in goodness, sattva-guna. And that is why within the Krishna consciousness movement, which is based on the teachings of Sri Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, these four regulative principles are emphasized. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, and no meat eating. Meat eating means inflicting violence upon other innocent creatures. These four regulative principles, by associating with these types of activities, our consciousness is terribly covered, entangled in the modes of passion and ignorance. Therefore, whatever else you do, as long as you're engaging in these activities, there is no possibility of understanding the transcendental nature of the soul or of God. From sattva-guna, the understanding and realization of aham brahmasmi, that I am not this body, I am spirit soul, is possible. From the lower modes, it is impossible. Pure goodness, or Sudha Sattva, means the liberated state of Krishna consciousness. When there is goodness with no passion and no ignorance, then you are in a perfect state of consciousness. That is transcendental. But that is not material. That is spiritual. In this material world, what we call sattva-guna, it is mixed with rajaguna and tamaguna. And therefore, due to the association of these other influences, at any time, due to association, we are prone to misuse our independence again and fall down. Lust and greed, the passion for more and more and more to not be satisfied, that is greed. And lust is that endless, insatiable fire within our heart to enjoy. These are the qualities of passion and ignorance. How to actually become stable in the happy position of transcendental consciousness? It is explained in the Gita that we must simultaneously fix our consciousness on Krishna, who is beyond the modes of material nature. And we must restrain our senses and our mind from material entanglement. Therefore, upon initiation within the Vaishnava society, we take these two vows. One is to follow the four regulative principles strictly, because by doing so, we are no longer associating with the influences that drag down our consciousness and cause us to continue to misuse our free will. And simultaneously, we must fix our consciousness on Krishna. Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyasim nam namaskar. Mame vaishasi satyam te prati jani priyoshin. And the sublime method by which everyone can fix their mind on Krishna is through the chanting of his holy names. Krishna is none different than his name. It is a spiritual sound vibration that elevates our consciousness and cleans our hearts. So if we simply perform these two activities very carefully, chanting the names of Krishna and following the four regulative principles, we can make great spiritual progress. However, unless we learn the mood of service, it is very difficult to continue. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada in the Gita teaches us how to be a proper servant, servant of God, and servant of all living entities. It must be a decisive commitment in our life. Otherwise, material nature will certainly delude us. It is not that our material desires go away automatically. Birth after birth after birth, they will not. When Srila Prabhupada was in Paris, the country of France, he was so amazed at what he saw. He saw a 75-year-old man going to the nightclub to look at beautiful young ladies with no clothes and to dance with them and to drink all sorts of intoxications. This man had to pay $50 to get in. And then any other little type of enjoyment, he had to pay extra. 75 years old, and he's still trying to somehow or other squeeze out of his old, aging, miserable body some more pleasure. Desperation. Srila Prabhupada also told us a story about a king. And his guru was explaining to him that you must follow these four regulative principles, you must take the name of God, and you must do it now, because material desires will not go away. And the king was thinking, let me just enjoy now, and when I get old and when I retire, it will be so natural for me to just surrender to Krishna and give up all these bad habits. So this very compassionate friend called for the king, please come with me and bring your young daughter with you, the princess. So he brought him to a place where there was an old man, perhaps 100 years old. And he was on his deathbed. He was just coughing up, and his senses were malfunctioning. He was just laying there about to die. And the king came in the room. Now, this is a very great honor for this man, that the king is coming to see him before he dies. This man looked at the king, but then his eyes immediately went right to the king's young daughter and could not stop looking at her. And the king was saying, I'm here too. But he couldn't acknowledge the existence of the king because his daughter was so beautiful. So the king turned to his guru and said, I will become serious about Krishna consciousness today. Because this disease never goes away until we make a deliberate commitment to the path of devotion. Until we decide with great faith and earnestness that we will associate with those people and those activities that will elevate my consciousness. It does not happen automatically. Tapodivyam putra kayena satvam sudyevyam abrahma sokyam tvanantvam. Human life is meant for tapasya. The meaning of tapasya is I may have certain propensities and certain inclinations due to the pullings of the modes of material nature, passion and ignorance. But I will say no to them. And I will say yes to what is good for my spiritual life, what is good for my welfare. Whether I like it or not is not important. We should not concern ourselves with what we like. We should concern ourselves with what is truth. What is right? Because the mind is so difficult to control. The nature of the mind, it is always accepting something and then rejecting. And then accepting and rejecting. It is hankering for what it doesn't have and lamenting for what it loses. And even if you get something, even if you get the treasured object that you've been longing for all your life, after you receive it, you'll still not be satisfied. and you'll hanker for something else and lament for something. This is the mind can never be satisfied for long. When your mind is happy because you achieved something, you can know 100% it is just a matter of time till it will be miserable. Do all of you have this experience? Krishna says the mind is the worst enemy if it is uncontrolled, but it is the best friend if it is controlled. And what does it mean to control the mind? Bhagavad Gita gives the example that the body is like a chariot, and the senses are like five horses, and the mind is the reins or the ropes that are meant to be controlling the horses and controlling the direction of your life. The intelligence is the charioteer, and the soul is the passenger. The soul is meant to give direction to the charioteer, and the charioteer is meant to lead you in the right direction. Even if the horses want to go somewhere else, with the reins of the mind, he must hold it still. Similarly, we must conquer the lower self with the higher self. The higher self is the intelligence that we get from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And unfortunately, in this world today, people are not following the principles of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Why? Because that tendency to misuse our free will is so prominent within society. And look what's happening. How much suffering, how much pollution, violence. We do not know what the next day will bring. People are pointing bombs at each other. People are committing such activities that material nature is reacting in very, very harsh ways. Due to so much pollution, anyone could die of any disease at any time. One of our devotees was just telling me, one boy, he became very distinguished in his exams in the medical field. He graduated and he got very top honors. And to celebrate, just a few days ago, one of his friends invited him to a Krishna conscious program. He said, "Tonight I want to celebrate." And he danced. 23 years old, he had a heart attack and died instantly, just a few days ago. We feel very bad for this. He was dear to whoever knew him. But we are in such illusion, we are thinking, just let me get away with one more thing. I still have time. But in this age, we do not know how much time we have. Therefore, what is most important is we understand what is right, what is truth, and we live for that truth. And we put aside our own mental conceptions of what we temporarily like or dislike. And with our intelligence, we pursue what is the real path of Dharma. To do this association of those who are following the path of Dharma is essential. We have used the example of the spark. When the spark remains with the fire, then the spark will continue to blaze to its full capacity. But when the spark, by its own free will, leaves that fire, very, very difficult to maintain or again establish our original blissful nature. therefore, to always associate with Krishna, who is the supreme
fire,
who is the supreme source of all truth and bliss, is the purpose of this human life. And how to do that? That is the subject matter of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna told Arjuna, you are a warrior, you fight, but you do it always in consciousness of me. Bhagavad Gita does not teach just do your duty. Bhagavad Gita teaches do your duty in consciousness of the truth. And what is that truth? That you are part and parcel of me. You are my eternal servant. You are full of knowledge and you are full of bliss. If we keep association of devotees who are similarly struggling to follow the four regulative principles, to follow spiritual discipline in their life, to be a real friend of others, to give them the gift of truth, then it is natural. It is possible to perfect our lives in this very human form. However, if we associate with an environment which is like water, it is very, very difficult to make any spiritual progress. The essence of spiritual life is simply to use your free will properly. To keep an intelligent understanding of what is to be done, and to control the tendencies of our mind. The mind wants to cheat us at every step. All promises, but in the end, no fulfillment. We should believe in Krishna's promise. Man manabhava mad bhakto mad yajim nam namaskuru mam evaishashi shatyam te prati jani priyokshi. Krishna's promise is that if we always think of him, become his devotee, worship him and offer homage unto him, you will come to him without fail. Krishna says, I promise you this because you are my dear friend. We are all the intimate friends and children of Krishna. He is calling us back home, back to Godhead. Going back to Godhead doesn't mean simply going to another planet far away. It is a state of consciousness. Going back to Godhead means to be reunited with our original natural relationship with God within our own heart in this very life where we are living today. And only if we establish that consciousness, when the inevitable time of death may come, then the soul is naturally transported to our original home with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the all-beautiful, all-loving, all-merciful friend of all living entities. We can do whatever we like in our life. Krishna will not interfere. Just as Krishna has spoken to Arjuna, Krishna has spoken to all of us. Deliberate on this fully, and then do what you wish to do. Krishna is not telling Arjuna to accept blindly. Krishna is telling Arjuna, you deliberate on this message fully. And then after you make that deliberation, do what you want. If we truly deliberate on it fully, we will understand. That the pursuit of truth, the service of God, is the only means of happiness in life. So please, please take this message of Krishna very seriously. Study these books carefully. Come to these wonderful classes where devotees are sharing their knowledge and realizations with you. At home, chant the holy names. Keep the company of nice devotees. And be very careful not to contaminate yourself with the lower modes of nature, which literally extinguish all the manifestation of the qualities of your eternal soul. Illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, meat eating. Prabhupada said, you just do this. Chant Hare Krishna, follow these principles, keep the association of devotees, and gradually you become purified. Gradually you come to the platform of Sattva Guna. And in that state of pure goodness, we can realize the inner transcendental qualities of our own spiritual heritage. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? Can you speak so everyone may hear?
You said that after coming to the mode of goodness, you realize the eternal nature of goodness. So is it that mode of goodness or something beyond that?
From the mode of goodness, as it has been explained, it is like the spark which has fallen coming into dry grass. It can ignite and our consciousness can grow. Mode of passion like green grass. It cannot grow. But somehow or other, after some time, there is the chance that the grass can get dry and then it can start growing. From the mode of passion, we're meant to go from ignorance to passion, from passion to goodness. But the mode of ignorance is like water. There is no chance in that condition. Very, very difficult. Unless the causeless mercy of the Lord takes us out of that water, which is the case of most of us. So the mode of goodness is that state consciousness wherein we can actually understand and gradually realize aham brahmasmi, that we are the eternal soul, we are part of God. You cannot attain the transcendental platform except from the mode of goodness. Following the four regulative principles puts us in the mode of goodness. Following the four regulative principles keeps us protected from the mode of ignorance and passion. If we're following carefully the regulative principles and chanting the holy names of the Lord, then the effect of the chanting of the holy names becomes very effective to elevate us to the transcendental state of pure, blissful consciousness. Does that answer your question? Yes, sir.
Is
Both. You will not feel better until you change your perception. Due to misusing our minute independence and coming under the influence of the lower modes of nature, we perceive everything in this world with these spectacles of lust and greed, kama and krodha. When you see something, you see it, how can I enjoy it? How can I possess it? Correct? When you see through rose-colored glasses, everything looks rose-colored. When you see through yellow-colored glasses, everything looks yellow. When we are influenced by the modes of nature, we see everything according to the influence of the modes of nature. I am seeing this clock. One person is seeing 8:59. That means that soon there's going to be a wonderful kirtan in just 1 or 2 minutes. How nice 8:59 is. Bringing me closer to the kirtan. And another person is seeing 8:59 and thinking, I'm supposed to meet somebody in the permit room at 8:59. So he's seeing 8:59 in a completely different way. So everything we see is according to our particular desires and state of consciousness. When we see a flower, one person looks at the flower and just doesn't even see any beauty in the flower. He's thinking, I just want some meat and alcohol to drink. What use is this flower? And another person sees a flower and sees all the glory and beauty of God in that flower. So according to our particular conditioning of consciousness, we perceive everything. When we have pure consciousness, we see everything as the energy of the Lord. Everything we see reminds us of the beauty of God. Everything we perceive awakens our love of God. Everything we perceive, we want to utilize it in a mood of compassion to others. That perception brings eternal happiness. But when we perceive in the conception of I and mine, I am this body, I am of this caste, I am of this race, I am of this nation, and whatever somehow or other I can acquire is mine, then we see everything in such a segregated way, and we can never be satisfied. Because the senses are insatiable, they burn like fire. So our perception has everything to do with our happiness and distress. Our perception depends on the state of consciousness we are in. We should use our independent free will, the choice that God has given us, to commit ourselves to purify our consciousness and associate with those people and those activities, that environment by which my consciousness can best be purified and I can have spiritual perception. Is there any other questions? Yes. The only difference is a particular function that one serves in society. Right. brahmachari grihastha vanaprastha sannyas, because you are offering the fruits of your action to God, they are equal. Because Krishna does not eat meat, and a Vaishnava doesn't eat anything that cannot be offered to Krishna. The basic principle of varnashram in Krishna consciousness, Daivi varnashram, is yat karoshi rasnashi, yat duhoshi tadasiyat. Whatever you do it as an offering in the service of God. That is the principle. And if one is a Vaishnav, one should not be categorized by any of these other external designations. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. We may be externally performing the duties for a service to society. However, one is a Vaishnava. Vaishnava means he's a servant of God. And whether one is a brahmacharya, vaishya, shudra, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, if that person is a sincere Vaishnava, our attitude toward them is vamsa kalpa tarubhyascha kripasindubhya eva cha patitanam bhavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo, to honor and respect them. Does that answer your question? Hare Krishna. Are there any other questions? Vishwarup Prabhu.
You were talking about controlling the sensual desires. And in today's world, television, advertisements, everywhere there is bombardment of encouraging us to do sensual activities.
Yes.
We are staying amongst all this environment. So how do we expect ourselves to be free from the temptations?
Did everyone hear this nice question? In the back? Perhaps you can stand up and speak it with your naturally loud voice.
The question is, today's world, Maharaj is talking about sensual control, but everywhere in the advertisement, television, we are bombarded with temptations to do, go and do the sensual activities. And my question was, how do we expect ourselves to be free from temptation in the midst of the environment?
You cannot. I'm sorry to tell you. As long as you're associating with these things, you cannot. As long as you're taking pleasure in these things, your consciousness will remain imprisoned by those influences of passion and ignorance. Therefore, we should look for our pleasure in those things that elevate our consciousness. The bombardments are all around us, but we do not have to take pleasure in them. That is the difference. We should look for our pleasure in Krishna. The hoardings are there telling us to smoke this type of cigarette and this drink this kind of alcohol and use this kind of petrol and so many things like this. Use this kind of oils to make your body smell like this and that. There are so many bombardments. And bombardments, these cinema bombardments in Bombay, like nowhere else in the world. They're so graphic. Everywhere you go, there's some half-naked lady embracing a half-naked man. And they're full of blood and knives and guns.
terrible. It's violence and sex. You give your money and come and see it moving. This is only a still picture and see how much it's agitating you. Imagine if you can see it in a moving theater, how much it will agitate you. In this way, we are being bombarded. And they're there. But if we're driving on our way to Bhaktivedanta Hospital to hear Devamrit Prabhu giving Pravachan from Bhagavad Gita, then we're not concerned with these hoardings. But if we're not doing this, if we're not using our life for a constructive purpose, then these hoardings are very much an essential part of our life. We're looking at them thinking, oh, very nice, let me get this, let me go there, let me be like this. But a devotee, that we're being bombarded, but we're saying, I will go to the satsang. I will go to my work to do my duty and perform my, and then come home and do my seva to Krishna. We have to be fixed in a purpose. Vyavashayatma kabudhireke ha kurunandana bahushaka yanantascha budhayo vyavashayanam. Krishna tells us in Gita, we must be resolute in purpose. We have to be committed. If you're not committed, Maya will certainly drag your mind away. We have to use our free will for a purpose and pursue that. If we're sitting and watching all television shows because we're so bored and we want to get pleasure in watching it, our mind is being stolen by passion and ignorance through that television set. But even if a television is there, why do we have to turn it on? We read the Shastra. We go to the Pravachan. We chant our rounds. We tell others about Krishna. We look at the beautiful deity in our house. We do some constructive spiritual activities with our children, with our family. Do you know something, as inconceivable as it may sound, but somehow or other, the world went on thousands, tens and thousands, millions of years without televisions. Nobody died because they didn't have a television. In fact, society was blissful. Srila Prabhupada told us that when he was a young boy in the early 20th century, here in India, practically every town and every village, after coming back from work, people would come together to hear Ramayana, Mahabharata, and Srimad Bhagavatam. All over the town. The whole town would come in a village. Someone would be, some saintly person, or even amongst themselves, the townspeople. They would have kirtan, they would discuss the pastimes of Ram and Krishna. And they'd be happy. They'd be united as a community, united as a family. And they would go home and they would dream about Krishna and Ram. Now people come home and they turn on television. And all these, I don't know what they're called, ZTVs or Star TVs. People are bombarding from all corners of the earth, from Japan and from America and from Europe and everywhere, with so many messages. They're not compassionate, saintly people trying to elevate your consciousness. They're greedy people. So if we associate with these things, we become contaminated by them. But even though the bombardment is there, if our mind is fixed on what we want in life, and we pursue that, then we can be transcendental. Just like a lotus flower can be in the muddiest pool of water, but it remains completely pure and fresh. Similarly, Prabhupada has come to make us like lotus flowers. He has given us the means
just keep your mind occupied in things that are favorable for your spiritual advancement. And do not participate in those things that are unfavorable for your spiritual advancement. And even if the mud is all around, you can be transcendental. And you can give other people that same opportunity. So we must be convinced, and we must have resolute purpose. And then we can find real happiness, real fulfillment and meaning in devotional service. Does that answer your question? Is there any other question? Yes, Mataji.
One minute.
Your question is very honest and very relevant to all of our lives. Arjuna asked Krishna in the Gita, "What happens if I take to this spiritual path, but in my life I do not perfect my Krishna consciousness?" And Krishna explained, there is nothing lost, because whatever progress we make is permanent. It is a gradual process. In the beginning, we have so many material desires. And when we start following the four regulative principles, we gradually come to the point of the mode of goodness. And when we're chanting the holy names of the Lord and doing devotional service, and using our good intelligence to understand the truth of Krishna consciousness, gradually we become purified. When you go into a filthy, dirty house, it's not that it is immediately clean. It may be a lifetime's work. However, we know we are making progress if we are following the process properly. So gradually, the passion and the greed is cleansed, purified, or eliminated from the heart through the cleansing process of Krishna consciousness. Does that answer your question? It is guaranteed. Krishna has guaranteed it. If you follow his teachings honestly and sincerely, with his help, it is guaranteed. We have innumerable, countless material desires that we have cultivated in our hearts. How many fish are in the ocean? Do you have a number? How many do you see? Sometimes one jumps and you see it. Similarly, sometimes one of the desires that are within our mind jumps to our consciousness and we see it. But how many more are there in the ocean of our mind? All the desires and all the activities of all of our previous lives are within our mind in a dormant state. And every now and then one comes up. We become so much disturbed by that one little fish that jumps. But
but there are millions and billions and trillions of desires in our heart. Now, if you want to catch all those fish in the ocean, is it possible for you to catch every fish in the ocean? Is there a net so big? Is there a hook so powerful? It is impossible. But Krishna says, you just follow my teachings, and I have the power. I will remove them all. I will remove all of your material attachments, all of your desires, all of your egoistic ways. Just be my servant. Chant my names. And God helps those who help themselves. We have faith in the power and the promise of the Lord. But we must do our part. Ananyas chintayanto mam yejana paryupashate. Krishna says, if you surrender to me, I will protect what you have. I will carry what you lack. And we are lacking so much. But Krishna will do it. He is within your heart. Does that answer your question? Is there one more question? Yes.
How could the Buddhist surrender to this position? And how could Buddhist surrender to Krishna?
How to increase surrender to Krishna? We increase our surrender to Krishna by sincerely accepting the guidance of Krishna and his representatives. There is no mystical formula required. It's very simple. Prabhupada was very straight. Prabhupada did not like what he called hocus-pocus gurus, who show all sorts of signs and make all sorts of miracles and do all kinds of things that fascinate your mind. Because they may fascinate your mind, but they don't change your heart. Prabhupada said, just speak what Krishna speaks. Just speak the truth. By hearing submissively and serving from Krishna and his loving representatives, we surrender to Krishna. Not with a cheating mentality, but honest mentality. And by being firm on that line, we will be protected from all the distractions around us. Does that answer your question? Hare Krishna. Associate with devotees. Follow these principles. Chant the holy names. Try to be a humble servant of the Lord. Whatever duties you perform, do it in a spirit of service to God. This is how we surrender to Krishna. And if we're firm in doing like that, then we will not fall prey to the distractions. Prabhupada said, the dogs will bark, but the caravan carries on. So we must carry on. So many dogs will be barking. So we just carry on with our prescribed duty in Krishna consciousness. And we will reach our eternal destination, back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Bhaktivedanta Hospital is built on these principles.
We don't want people only to leave this place with healthy bodies. But we want to leave these, we would like people to leave this place with an understanding of how to practically apply in their life the means by which they can be happy in heart. That is the goal of this hospital. That is the goal of our temples. That is the goal of life.